If you were here in Sunday school this morning, we had a great lesson on Genesis 3. So we're going to have a great lesson on Genesis 3. take the hint. God wants you to know something. And I didn't talk with Brother Mike at all. We didn't know we were going to do that. But I'm going to be looking at something a little bit different. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. I guess it was about a month ago I preached a sermon on truth or consequences. And I got the truth part, but I didn't get the consequences part. So I wanted to now kind of finish that and talk about the consequences of believing a lie, of not following the truth. And we got some great examples. And the obvious example is in Genesis 3, the most serious, the most severe consequences. And so we have to look at that one first. So I'd like to go ahead and read the first 19 verses in chapter 3, because we're so familiar with it. Sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, and we say, oh, I know what this is, and we really don't. You can always mine more out of it. So listen to it as if you've never heard it before. So Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of their life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be for thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, and thou return till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. God has his blessing on the reading of his word. In chapter 2, God had already dealt with this, and if you want to look across the page, it's chapter 2, verse across my page, chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. This is God who cannot lie. This is God who has given out truth. This is the standard of truth. Those two verses there, that's rock solid. When we talked about last month, whatever it was, we talked about God's truth. And a couple of things we found, that it stands forever. God's truth is not, it does not change. It's not fickle. It's not bendable. It's not malleable. It's not something we can bend into some kind of pretzels and make it say what we want it to say. God says it, and it's what God wants it to say. And we don't change it. We are not God, and therefore we have to take what he has said. So, and we looked at Isaiah 40, the grass withereth, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And thy word is truth. So it is truth that stands forever. Have you noticed we live in a sea of lies? Have you been lied to recently? If you've turned your television set on, you've been lied to. Anything that comes there is a lie. Anything that comes on the radio, it's a lie. It's that bad. And it says something about the atmosphere and about the spiritual temperature of the world that we're living in. But truth also endures to all generations. So the generation that Jesus was in, their truth is the same as our truth, and our great-great-great-great-grandchildren, it'll be the same for them, too. It doesn't change. It is for all generations. It reaches to the clouds in Psalm 108. It's ubiquitous. That doesn't mean that if you get on a plane and go above the clouds, that's where it stops. No, that's poetry. It says up to the clouds. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Truth is freedom. You know, if you're living in a world of lies, you have to watch these politicians. They'll tell a lie, and then they have to tell another one to cover that one, and another one to cover that one. And the lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. At a point, you hope it all crashes in on itself, and it will at some point. But because lies cannot stand, they just can't. But God's word can, God's truth can, and does. So this is how we become free. Freedom is truth. And it's a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. So when we lie, we throw acid in space. We are more antichrist whenever we lie. So that's why it's so important that we understand truth, we know truth, and we can spot a lie. Lies are very easy. It's sort of like going downhill. It's just like easy. You don't have to teach a child to lie. They do it it's automatic. This was several years ago, a lot of years ago. My mother and my brother, we went out strawberry picking over in Tampa, and that's, you know, a lot of families go out, and there was one family, and the girl, they had a sign, please don't eat the strawberries, they've been sprayed, and, you know, wash them first. And so there's this little girl, I don't know, she's 4 or 5 years old, and her whole face is covered with strawberry juice. And her mother there, I mean, we're all laughing, and her mother there says, now, Susan, or whatever her name was, have you been eating the strawberries? No, Mommy. And here's, we're all laughing, but that's really not funny. That's not funny at all, because that's who we are. We are liars. And we could tell the truth, but we choose not to. And again, that's so antichrist. And that's why we need to be able to know the truth. That's why we have to stay in God's word. If we're not in the truth, and this is the, let me tell you, this King James Bible is the only source of truth that you have. Period. There is no other source of truth. None at all. So, it's sort of like, as the world becomes more and more predicated on a lie, everything is set up on a lie. We do everything based on a lie. Pastor mentioned the hurricane. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, panic. Oh, go buy everything out of the store. Oh, no. And they want you to be fearful, and they want you to... Why? Well, it sells newspapers. It gets ratings, and it's money. For the love of money, root of all evil. So follow the money, and you'll find it. But truth, living in truth, is actually, it's like going uphill, because that's not the way everything's going. Wherever you work, lies are the order of the day. That's just the way it is. There was a movie, I can't remember the name of it. It's Jack Nicholson, I guess. He says, "You can't handle the truth." That's sadly where we are in America in 2021. Most people cannot handle the truth because they don't know it. Most people do not know it. Churches like this, where the truth, the King James Bible, is still taught and reverenced, that's not the case. That's not even in the churches. They've totally abandoned it and replaced it with not truth. So. And we have a responsibility for what we believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, you don't just believe anything. You have to believe the truth. And if you don't hear the truth, then how can you be saved? If you don't have a preacher, you know, that's okay. That's, when you're in lies, the longer you're in the lies, it becomes harder and harder to get you out of it, because those lies start hardening. That's why the older you get, the less chance there is that you're going to get saved, because the lies and the hardening of the heart starts taking hold, and the truth has no way of getting through. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's why the day of salvation is today. It's not, oh, tomorrow, oh, next year, oh, because pretty soon you run out of time. All right, let's look at Genesis here. And in verse 1, the serpent. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. I'm going to go to Revelation 12. There's also Revelation 20. It talks about who the serpent is. So just so we know, the serpent in Revelation 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Boy, are we seeing that. How is that possible? We got countries, different governments, and yet, you know, it's like herding cats, but all of a sudden, they're all marching to the same beat. How did that happen? There's a spiritual thing going on. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, I'll bet there was a party up in heaven. I'll bet they were like, man, got rid of him. Oh, thankfully. And indeed, in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. That's us. We're having to put up with this. And his lies are so, as it says, they're subtle. They are subtle. What does subtle mean? It means under the radar. You didn't know it. You got deceived and you didn't know it. In fact, if you are deceived, you don't know it. You don't know it because you're deceived. If you know it, you're not deceived anymore. So this is what he is. He's sly. The dictionary word is the wily. Like Wile E. Coyote, we talked about that. That's exactly what he is. Okay, if this doesn't work, we'll try this. He's got a toolbox. He'll throw this, he'll throw that, he'll throw something else. He doesn't give up. So he loses one. That's nothing. We got more. So we have to be so grounded in the truth, because even as, you know, when we're saved, we tend to think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I can just take it easy. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't lose your salvation if you really are saved. But there are consequences that you will pay here, and for eternity you'll pay in rewards and lack of rewards. Yeah, think about this. Somebody who, and yes, you could go to heaven without any rewards. You could do nothing. But how is that going to look? I think about that. We're all going to know. Everybody's going to know that here's a person that was completely unfaithful on the earth, didn't do anything for the Lord who saved him. And how does that work? I don't want to say shame, but there is, you've lost rewards. You could have had what you could have had, the great rewards that you could have had, and you don't. Anyway, so he says to the woman, he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That word, yea, all the new, the modern translations throw that out. But we still use that word. In fact, Jesus used that word. He says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Paul uses that word in the book of Philemon. It has the meaning of agreement. If you vote yay on a bill, for example, it's I agree with that bill. I am in lockstep with this bill. Or you know, whatever it is. So that's what this subtle serpent is doing. He's saying, we're in this together. You heard that? We're all in this together. We'll get out together. That's a lie. But he's saying, I'm with you. I agree with you. We have everything in common. And then he goes on to say, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. It's like he's saying, oh, I agree with you. I'm down for your struggle. I know what you're going through. But I have a question. Now, I believe that the serpent in chapter 2, verse 16, I believe he was there and he heard every word of that. Now, Eve was not created yet, but the beasts of the field were. So I believe he heard, and well, how else is he going to know? So he deliberately twisted it around. He deliberately And this is something that happens that I've noticed because we are deluged with information today. That you got so much information that you have to just take a quick look at it and throw it away. You have to look for buzzwords. And he used the buzzwords. He used tree and garden and something like that. Yeah, he said something like that. That's close enough. And we don't look at exactly what it says. Every word matters. Because if you go back to verse 16, and here's exactly what he says. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And then the devil turns it around and says, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. In other words, he's taking it a negative. He's taking a positive. God gave him a positive. You may eat. And he's turning around and saying, you may not eat because... And what he's implying is that God is so mean and so uncaring, and you deserve it. You deserve to eat all this. You deserve to eat anything you want to. And that's what he's planting, that little seed in her mind. Now, I also believe that Adam was standing right there next to her. And the reason I believe that is because in verse 6, also gave to her husband with her. Now, there are two people on the face of the earth. What was Adam doing? Where was he? And the other thing is, even if he's not standing there, you don't have the freeway right next to you. He's not listening to headphones. He's not, rolling up his window so he can't hear anything. He could hear it. He could hear what was going on here. Why didn't he go over there? And this is what I think should have happened. Pastor was talking about Pastor Pulowski, the Canadian pastor there. Because when they came in to the mask mandate people, he just said, get out. He didn't listen to anything they had to say. Get out. Just get out. That's awesome. I love that. That's what Adam should have done. That's what Adam should have done because he knew what God had said. He should have said, we're not talking to you, get out. And he had the authority at that time to evict him. But he chose not to use it. In fact, he took a step backward and Eve is there all by herself and, me? Oh, you want me to answer this? She wasn't even there when God said it. So she says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, which is correct. Okay, she got that. If she'd have stopped there, that would have been, all right. But no, she didn't. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, what does that mean? The fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. That's not what God said. He said, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's a specific tree that they were not supposed to eat. Well, she got that wrong. So all now, because the devil's kind of on a fishing expedition here to see, and he does it with us too. Where are you? And he'll plant thought. He has the ability to plant thoughts. He has the ability. He can't get into your heart, unless you're possessed, but he does have the ability to plant thoughts through the world, through just all kinds of things, subtly. You didn't even know it. And it's anti-Christ, and it's anti-Bible. And this is why, again, if we're not in the Word of God, he's going to win. He's going to win. And that's very telling in America today. That people are not. Well, they've forsaken King James Version and they've replaced it with something that God doesn't bless. I got saved in 1984, and at that time, most churches were still using King James. The church I got saved in, King James. It was an independent fundamental Baptist church. But the NIV had been published, I think, in 1978, I think is when the first, 1978. And so the spiritual temperature was much better than it is now. And I think that's the reason. That really is the reason. Because even Christians have forsaken what God blesses. You know, we can look back at D.L. Moody and we look at revivals. Now, I've been to meetings we call revival, you know, a week long. We're having a revival. And I've been to those. But since I've been saved, I have not seen a revival. I have not seen bars closing, strip joints closing. I've not seen that. I see the same kind of language, the same kind of stuff going on. And yet, we hear when King James was the Bible, we do hear that those kinds of things happen, that God really moved through those things. And it's really because he blesses this English version. And he does not bless. Look at the condition of churches that use these other translations. Just look at it. There's sin all over the place. There's complete chaos, as far as I'm concerned. There's no meat. There's no truth. I don't know why. I have a quote here. This is from the NIV webpage, and it says, "The New International Version, read by millions," which is a sad commentary, "was more than five decades in the making. What started as one man's vision soon became a cross-denominational movement." There's a flag. Denominations are denominations because they don't agree. I would not ever go to a Presbyterian church because I vehemently disagree with their doctrine. I would not go to a Methodist church because I vehemently disagree with their doctrine. It isn't the truth. They've forsaken it. But let's unite. Let's all get together. And that's what he says, uniting evangelicals around the dream of a trustworthy, accessible Bible translation. Now, that's a slap in the face to King James. That's implying that King James is not trustworthy. And I can tell you, because I've been in churches where they don't, you know, you can use whatever version you want to. And usually, you spend half the say, Bible study time. What does yours say? What does yours say? What does yours say? What does yours say? And then we'll discuss it and talk about it. And then whoever the pastor or whoever the teacher is will say, "Well, the original Greek says, here's the correct answer." Well, then what good is this book I'm holding? You know, why don't I just get rid of it? So my point here is that when God makes a statement, when he gives his word, that word is truth, and that every word matters. Eve screwed it all up. She didn't get it right. She didn't say what God had said. And when we start doing that, when we start changing what God says to suit our own, there's a version that is gender neutral. And apparently it's selling like hotcakes. Are you kidding me? That's to guess maybe attract the feminazis and the idiots and all of that. Why do I want to attract that? I want the truth. I want to preach the truth. And if we're not preaching the truth, then what's the point? And what I want to say is that because she got it so wrong, and maybe we think, oh, it wasn't that off. She only got a couple of words wrong. She said, you shall not touch it. Well, she just made that up. Where did that come from? It didn't come from what God had said. So she got it wrong. And that has terrible, terrible consequences, as we're going to see. But then the serpent said in verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. That is a lie. There is no other way to say it. That is a complete lie. Couldn't be further from the truth. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. Thou shalt, the last four words are, thou shalt surely die. And he blatantly, just blatantly lied to her. She didn't see it, though. She didn't see it. And Adam, whatever he's doing, he didn't step in either and say, no, that's not right. Because he did hear it. Eve didn't. And it says that Eve was deceived, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Why did he do that? I don't know. But I don't want to do it. That's why I love... you were talking about Pastor Pulaski in Oregon. And I saw some of the... I mean, they had the families. They had wives with their strollers. You know, their children were there. It was a prayer meeting. And it was an outdoor prayer meeting. People praying for their city. Boy, that's what you should be doing. And so Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which is an arm of the Democrat Party, the militant arm, they destroyed it. But they interviewed, and I mean, there were people with blood, and you know, they had done a lot of damage. But you know what they said? And the women, the mothers, like, we are so mad. They can't do this to us. We're coming back next week. We're going to do it again. We're not going to put up with this. That's what we need to do. And I you know, maybe if the church, when this NIV stuff came out, if we had said, get out, no way. But all the religious stuff, they all bought into it, and they pushed it, and they sold it, and they advertised it. And yeah, that's how they do it. That's how they do it. So then he goes further on to lie, and then he says in verse 5, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what he's saying? It's like, you deserve to have whatever you want. We don't care. God, well, you know, who does he think he is telling you what to do? I don't know. And we know that the devil wants to be God himself. And so that's why he tells lies like this. You can do whatever you want to. And then in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, oh, that's what we want. We want pleasure. That's what we're here on this earth for. We're here for personal pleasure. I like this. It tastes good. You eat stuff because it just tastes good, not because this is what you need to eat. You know, sometimes you have to take medicine and it tastes horrible, but you need it. Your body needs it. And so if we don't learn that this world is not about us, it doesn't revolve around us, that we have to become what the truth would demand of us. In other words, we don't make the final decisions. We didn't decide to be born, and We don't know when we're going to die either. That's not for us. You know, a lot of this medical stuff, I listen to some of these doctors that talk about, well, we're going to make sure that you know, you will live, and if you just come to our hospital, we will make you well because we are the ones that know everything. Well, they don't know anything. I mean, if the truth be told, it is not they who heal the body; it is the body that heals the body. I mean, they can get medicine. They can do things to enhance it, but it's these bodies that God created that actually do the healing. It is God, and we don't give we applaud the doctors, we applaud the nurses. There are heroes now. There's signs all over the place that say, "Oh, our heroes! Oh, thankfully we have ambulances and doctors and all this kind of stuff." And I'm not saying that that's not okay, but why don't we praise God? Why don't we praise the Creator? Why don't we praise the one who really deserves the praise? So anyway, she takes of the fruit. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. He was passive. He didn't. He knew the difference, but he didn't correct her. He didn't do anything. I'm also kind of intrigued when God confronts them, and he in verse 9, he says, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Okay, that's a pretty plain question. Where art thou? But here's what he said: "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He didn't answer the question. That's not the question that he asked. And I hear that a lot of times. I was on a jury, and the lawyer would ask a question to, you know, a witness. And the witness would go talk about something else. And it's like, you didn't answer the question. And any good lawyer will not let him get away with that. Actually, a good reporter will not let politicians get away with stupidity and dodging the answer. I saw this was from like 1976. This was a 60 Minutes interview. Mike Wallace. All right, Mike Wallace. That was the swine flu. That was when we had the swine flu. Oh, everybody's going to... Same thing. It was the same thing. But then, the reason it wasn't all blown out of proportion like it is now is because we had a media that asked legitimate questions. And Mike Wallace interviewed the head of the CDC, and he just toasted him. I mean, he didn't let him get away with any ridiculous answers. He'd say, "Well, you know, I don't really know." And Wallace would say, "You're the head of the CDC, and you don't know? What kind of organization you got here?" And I mean, he didn't let anything get away with the kind of stuff that. Today, it's like, "Oh, okay, we understand." So, and that's, you see, when you get to the truth, that's why, you know, media used to have a good reputation of, yes, they'll hold these people accountable. Not anymore. They're all in bed together. So, anyway. So, getting back down to the consequences. The consequences were so serious. I mean, if you just read it, it sounds like, well, you know, it's not so bad. But we're dealing with it today. Sin is never, ever containable. Okay, it goes as You cannot put it in a box and say, okay, nobody sees it, and put it in the closet and say, that's okay. It's not okay, because it's got a spiritual component. It's got a spiritual component that you cannot control. And it'll affect generations to come. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why we're in such dangerous territory right now in our country, because lies are just running rampant. I don't want to get into too much into politics, but we have to. Why? Because they are encroaching on our territory. They are starting to preach lies as truth. And that we have an interest in. We have to correct the truth. Correct the lies and tell the truth. One of the... Let's take the election. There was yesterday, I saw, the Department of Homeland Security issued a bulletin saying that if you question the veracity of the 2020 presidential election, that you are a homeland terrorist. If you disagree with the COVID-19 restrictions, you are a homeland terrorist. And it won't be too long before they'll say something like, if you preach Romans chapter 1, you are a terrorist.
Yes.
So, you know, the hoof prints, the horses are coming. Maybe right now, I really believe that our days are numbered where we can meet together like this. So while we can, you ought to take every opportunity, especially prayer. To pray together is power. You know, a mother that prays for her children, that's something I saw. Pulaski, the women there, the mothers, they were praying for their children. They were serious about it, and that's what we've got to be. We've got to realize that this what we've taken for granted is they're coming after it, and it's so precious that. For us to just give it up, we ought to fight with everything we've got to be able to do this. Because without that prayer, they know it too. And they know it. They know that if they can push genuine Christians out of the way, they know that the devil knows that, and he's terrified of prayer and of preaching the truth. So as far as consequences, everything we see today, the lies, the murders, death itself, everything, came out of this one act. And this is probably the most serious. And I have a couple others. Samson... And you see what the consequences that he had for his believing of lies, even though he had every chance to not believe it, and also Jehoshaphat. Those are two examples of what happens, that God does take his people. And he does discipline, and he does, and there are consequences for this. So, there are so many examples in Scripture, and it's kind of fun to look at it because we're going through this, we're about to go through this, just looking at what lies they believed and the consequence of it. God doesn't just cover it up, and especially His children. We don't get away with that kind of sin. So, Pastor?